Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's so weird for me to start this. Chase William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3. The game should be live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the losses of Amanda J. Gentry. Live in the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Derek Mason is the one member of Chase Willie and D. Mace that's here today. Hello, Derek.
Hey, what's going on?
Again, I'm on your show, so we got a lot. First of all, let me start with this on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let's play some freaking hockey today.
Oh, man. First game of the season. Is it?
Yeah, it's the first game of the season today at
Dallas
1 o'clock.
Stars.
Right here, San Jose Sharks. Dallas
San Jose.
Next week.
Dallas and Texas.
San Jose starts at 1 o'clock right here, 102.5, 106.3. The game pregame show starts at noon, so we're really excited about that. And then after that game's over and then after the postgame show, I'll be back on with Lil Stillman and Company later today on the program. I do want to start, and we got a lot of Titans to get to, and Tennessee's got a huge game tomorrow, and I really didn't think we'd be talking about this today until I watched the game last night. The Broncos and the Colts. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I've watched some bad football in my life.
Uh-huh.
And this may not be the worst football I've ever seen, but it's pretty close to it. And not only is it bad football, but two quarterbacks who one just got paid $250 million, and the other guy who was supposed to be the savior of the Indianapolis Colts, and they couldn't score a touchdown last night. And it wasn't that one team won the game. I know Indianapolis got credit for a win, which is so incredibly disheartening. But the reality is, for me, is that Denver is terrible and Indy is terrible. And I mean, what did you make of last night's game?
Last night's game was, I've never seen a football game like that. And I've seen some bad Thursday night football games, as we all have, because Thursday night is usually at night. You know, guys are tired from the Sunday night game and you're asking them to play, you know, 3-4 days later, and you see the fatigue in their bodies. But last night was just something. It wasn't just the fatigue of them playing. It was just bad football. I mean, you could be tired and still play a somewhat good game. But last night, that had nothing to do with fatigue. It didn't. I mean, Russell Wilson looks bad. He looks like the worst quarterback in the NFL. he does. And anybody that want to dispute that, they must didn't see last night game. Or they didn't see him throughout this whole season. They're horrible.
Well, let's not let the other guy off the hook, too, because he stinks.
Yeah, he's bad as well. I mean, Matt Ryan is, you know, he got sacked, what, six times last night? Six or seven times?
Something like
around?
That. I think he fumbled twice, threw two
fumbled
picks.
Twice. He doesn't look comfortable in the huddle. He, meaning in the pocket. It's as if, and I've watched Matt Ryan a lot throughout his career. I don't think he's ever looked like this. Even last year in Atlanta, you know, they didn't have a good team, but he didn't look like this. It's like he's almost anticipating, like, I'm going to get a rush, so I need to get this. I need to find somebody open very quickly. And it's not working out. The offensive line situation isn't working out. They don't have Jonathan Taylor. Skill guys are non-existent. You know, a guy make a play here and there, you don't get excited because you don't know if he's going to make the next play. So everybody witnessed two very bad teams and two quarterbacks that seem to be on a complete downward spiral.
I think that, like, what bothers me about this game is that Indianapolis got credit for a win. Like, because here's the thing that's nuts, right? Like, both coaches stink. I mean, they both stink. That Hackett, man, he stinks. Like, and I know people are going to be like, oh, there's Jared Stillman. Talk about, I've never seen a coach get fired after four games or five games. I think this guy might be pushing it. Like, I think that he might be pushing it with, you know, two quarterbacks that were supposed to be good that are terrible. And not only that, I mean, I would say the most disheartening element about the Colts winning that game yesterday was just how poorly they played and how poorly they coached and everything bad that happened to them, and they still won the game. Like, they changed their offensive line. I've never explained this to me with Indianapolis, because They changed their offensive line going into yesterday's game, which we knew their offensive line stunk. We spent the whole pregame show talking about it on Sunday. And they put a rookie in at left tackle on the road on a Thursday night at Denver. So they moved the left tackle to right tackle, the right tackle to right guard, the right guard to the bench, and a rookie at left tackle. How many days of practice do you have on a Thursday night football?
Really, one?
Okay, so one day of practice, and you're going on the road to Denver with the loudest. I mean, I think that might be the hardest place to play in the NFL. You played there, so I guess you know.
It could be one of the loudest places, but then again, if your team's not good.
Well, they're not getting a first down.
Exactly.
That's a problem. And they still won the game. Like, the level of stupid with which Indianapolis is coaching and playing, and they're only 2-2-1. They are one tie behind the Titans. Like, if the Titans lose on Sunday to Washington, which I don't think they're going to, but
I was
talking to TD about this yesterday, and I was talking about the Titans, and I said, you know, normally when we say things like, if that team plays to what they're capable of, we're talking about, you know, if they play to what they're capable of in a good way. When I talk about if this team plays to what they're capable of with the Titans, I'm talking about in a bad way. Like, if they play how they're capable of, they very easily could lose to Washington. No matter how bad Washington is, that's just the thing the Titans do. If the Titans lose on Sunday, they are a half a game behind the Indianapolis Colts. Because the Colts would be 2-2-1, the Titans would be 2-3. That is so disheartening to me after watching what I saw with Indy yesterday. But then, I'm also watching this game thinking about how the Broncos are on the Titans schedule, and I'm like, don't have to worry about them this year. And let me say this about both teams, but specifically Denver. I don't see either team turning it around. I've always told people September football is weird. Like, things will happen in September that you look back in November and you're like, they lost that game to that quarterback? Like, how did that – like, you guys lost to the Steve Spurrier Washington team with Patrick Ramsey as the quarterback and ended up in the AFC Championship game. Like, crazy things happen in September. But it's October now. Like, it's not September football anymore. I don't see either of these two teams turning it around, especially the Broncos, because the negativity there – I mean, the fans were leaving in a tie game in the fourth quarter.
That's bad. That is what you call, you know, a statement. The fans made a statement yesterday.
And they booed the whole game.
they are not happy. And when you have going into halftime, I mean, not going into halftime, but going into overtime, they actually – and the NFL, and I'm surprised the NFL did this, honestly. I'm surprised – well, I'm pretty sure if it was on the NFL Network, maybe they wouldn't have, but because it was on Prime – you don't see the NFL showing fans leave, like, in especially in an overtime game, where they actually, you know, show the fans walking out the building and then, you know, commented on the fans walking out the building. Like, listen, they're tired of this trash that is basically they're watching. The NFL, if that was on a Sunday night game, you don't see that. No. They're not going to show the fans. They're just not going to do that. I was surprised they did, but that just shows you the disgust that not only the fans had, but the viewers, you know, and the people in the truck that was like, we're here working this awful game. We could have did a high school game and probably got better than this. I wonder what the viewership was last night.
Oh, I bet it was down in the – I mean, my dad was like, I turned it off.
I don't
blame him. Dad was like – my buddy who's a Broncos fan was like, I turned it off. Like, they were like, I had to turn it off. I mean – I was joking around, and this is a joke, so I want everybody to understand before what I say. I'm like, last week, Tua almost died on the football field in front of our own eyes on Thursday Night Football, and Roger Goodell didn't say anything, probably didn't have to say anything. I mean, again, this is a joke, but Roger Goodell might have to hold a press conference today to discuss public confidence in the National Football League after what we had to watch on Thursday night last night. Here's the other thing, too. I think that Russell might just be bad. Like, there is an adjustment period, in my opinion, for a new quarterback that goes to a new team that, you know, it new coach, new system. And because it's a new coach, everybody has to learn a new system. And because Russell doesn't know the system, he's got to learn the system and he's got to learn the receivers. And they don't practice as much as they used to when you played and all that kind of stuff. So I think it takes time, which is why we're seeing a lot of the new quarterbacks in new places struggle this year. But I think he might just be bad.
You know what? You say that. But then I think back and I say, well, how many quarterbacks have we seen within like the last 10 years? Because prior to 10 years ago, I mean, you wasn't seeing marquee quarterbacks sort of switch teams.
No.
But now it's like the NBA. It's like, I need an arm for hire. So if you want to come be on my team, we'll pay you whatever we want. We'll give up whatever draft picks we need. We just want to win a Super Bowl. But I don't, going back to Peyton Manning, going back to Tom Brady.
Which those even, are some pretty special circumstances.
But even it's Matt Stafford.
Sure.
And there's maybe one or two other quarterbacks when they switched teams. They didn't struggle like this.
Yeah, Drew Brees didn't when he went to New Orleans.
Drew Brees didn't struggle like this. And at one point in time, there was this argument about is Russell is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Is he and I remember saying this, and I want to go back up in you know sometime within the next week or so, pull up what I said about Russell Wilson. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I never thought he was an elite quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's not an elite quarterback. He's a quarterback that you put on – he's Ryan Tannehill. That's just what he is. You put people around him that are really, really good. The year he won a Super Bowl, they had a historic defense, and they had playmakers on offense. A couple years ago, they had playmakers on offense when he threw for all those yardage. Now, he's not a guy that can elevate people. He's not. We are seeing it. Now, things can change, but I don't think it's going to change to a point where we look at him and say, oh, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. Just because he won a Super Bowl doesn't mean he's a Hall of Famer. You know, Phil Simms won a Super Bowl. You know, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. We don't consider those guys Hall of Famers. He's not a Hall of Famer the way he's been playing.
And
this is not the first year started.
So I want to say, like, the first day that Floyd and I ever worked together, mm-hmm. Russell Wilson was signing, like, his last contract before this contract that he just signed. And maybe he signed a contract in the middle somewhere. But we were talking about that, and Floyd told me, he was like, you know, if Russell signs that contract, like, goodbye Legion of Boom, goodbye Marshawn Lynch, goodbye. And I was like, and what's that mean? He goes, they're not going to be very good. I said, really? He's like, no. I said, he goes, the whole key to that team on offense is Marshawn Lynch. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why that team is. And this was off air, and I said, okay, well, you're the general manager at Seattle. What do you do? He goes, well, you have to sign a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You don't have a choice. You can't not sign the quarterback. You can't not have a quarterback. But he was like, once that happens, I mean, they're not competing for Super Bowls anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think it played out exactly like that. I mean, I'll say this. I've watched, like, two Seahawk games this year when they've been on TV. Geno Smith's playing better quarterback than Russell Wilson.
He is.
I mean, that's embarrassing. Like, that is – here's what I think Russell is a couple things. First off, I do think there's an adjustment period mm-hmm. for all the quarterbacks and everything else, and Russell's going through that. Two, I think Russell's really not as good as he was hyped up to be. Mm-hmm. Like, he was never in the Manning, Brady, that kind of quarterback class.
He's not in their class.
He was never that kind of guy. He never belonged at that table ever. At any point in his career. Mm-hmm. I think the third thing with him is that I think he kind of comes off as kind of like full of himself.
Yeah.
And I think that rubs teammates and fans and everything else the wrong way. And then I think the fourth thing is, like, dude, when you sign for a $250 million contract, like, these are the expectations. Mm-hmm. Not to be worse than Geno Smith.
Well, that's what you got.
So let's pick this up. 615-737-1025. Let's get your reaction to last night. 615-737-1025 and what we saw. And here's what's crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to admit that I was wrong about something.
You
admitted? I am going to have to admit. Because I thought after the Bengals playoff game that the Titans had to go move off of Ryan Tannehill and find a better quarterback. And I included Russell Wilson in the group that is better than Ryan Tannehill. I think we can legitimately discuss after what we've seen so far this season, if it's fair to say that Tannehill is clearly better than Russell Wilson. 615-737-1025. That's what we'll do. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday right here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Jared in with D-Mace, 615-737-1025. And our phones work again. How about that? All right. So we'll get to you early and often today. Right here, Derek's with us. Keep wanting to say it's Stillman & Company on 1025-1063 The Game.
Anyway.
They're leaving.
The Broncos fans are bailing.
They've had enough.
It's 9-9. They're like, the heck with it. I'm out.
Yep.
I'm out of here.
I was wondering last night if we were going to get some unrated Al Michaels on Amazon Prime, because Al was fed up with how terrible that game was last night.
Al's like, listen, man,
he's tied the record for the most Super Bowls called. He's the greatest football announcer maybe ever.
It's like, man, I'm getting older. I can't just be sitting in the booth, you know, calling a horrible game. I can't do this on Thursday nights. They got to be better.
So I'm on the Chase, Willie, and D-May show today, and I do owe on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, I do owe an apology. And that is, I don't know if it's to Ryan Tannehill. I don't know who it's to. But the admission of wrong that's about to come out of my mouth is when the Titans lost to the Bengals, I basically said, like, hey, look, there aren't that many quarterbacks out there that are better than Ryan Tannehill, and it's hard to find a quarterback who's better than Ryan Tannehill, but if the Titans want to win the Super Bowl, they have to get a quarterback who's better than Ryan Tannehill, which I don't completely disagree with at this point by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. But the three guys that I circled as maybe possibilities, one, Rodgers,
okay,
which was a possibility because he was telling people that he was open to joining the
Titans. And that would have been an upgrade, definitely.
Absolutely. Two, Brady. Because there was all that lingering talk that he hated Tampa Bay, and we didn't know that he was going to go to Miami or try to go to Miami, but Brady, you know, who I don't know if they passed on or whatever, and three was Russell Wilson. I was like, those three guys are better than Tannehill, and it might cost an arm and a leg to get any of them, but they're all three better than Tannehill, and this team could compete for a Super Bowl with those guys. I don't even think it's a discussion. Like, even, and I'm talking about not just here in Nashville. Like, if I were to go on Sirius, and I'm on Sunday, if I were to go on Sirius on Sunday and say that I think Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson, that's not a crazy...
No, it's not.
At this point, right?
No, it's not. At this juncture in the season or in their career, let's just say their career, because, you know, it's you kind of sort of push all the other stuff to the back. You're just looking at them now as quarterbacks.
Like, who would I rather have start for the Titans on Sunday against Washington?
I would rather have Ryan Tannehill.
Not even close.
The way that Russell Wilson is playing, it's almost like he's disinterested. It's almost like he's thinking, why did I even come here? And my thing, too, is for him, you know you're not going to have a good team, one, because of what they had to get. What had to give up to bring you here. Mm-hmm. So you knew your team was going to be struggling somewhat in regards to bringing in talent. You knew you were going to have to work with the young talent, and hopefully the young talent matures and become good. And I'm pretty sure that's what John Elway is thinking. But then when you sign that massive contract, now you give them no leeway to sign anybody moving forward. This is why I respect Tom Brady so much. I dislike him because he went to Michigan. That's always going to be. But this is why I respect him so much. Because he was like, listen, it's championships over money for me. The money will come. I win Super Bowls, the endorsements will come. Everything. And look at what has happened. He took almost half of what he should have earned each year and said, you know what? Y'all sign who y'all need to sign. Keep the guys intact. I'm going to take half, but we're going to win championships. Could Tom Brady have made $50 million before Aaron Rodgers made $50 million? Absolutely, he could have.
So Floyd told me that he, because Floyd was the lead negotiator for the Patriots, that it was a really hard contract to do because Floyd would call Don Yee and say, what does Tom want? Uh-huh. And then Don would call back and say, well, Tom wants to know what the team, you know, needs money-wise. Mm-hmm. And Floyd's like, well, we can't decide what the team needs until we know how much it's going to cost to pay Tom. Uh-huh. So once we know how much it'll cost to pay Tom, then we'll know what we can get. So it was like this back and forth of like, Tom, what do you want? But it was like, well, what do we need?
Exactly.
If you'll take $1, we'll do that. I mean, like that.
If you need to sign Edelman back, if you need to sign this guy back, you sign those guys back. I'm going to tell you, hey, I want $15 million a year.
Russell Wilson never do that.
No, he would never do that. It's all, even though he's won a Super Bowl, even though he's, you know, he's this sort of this one of the faces of the NFL, he would never do that.
Here's my thing, though. He can't play.
He's not good.
I mean, and this goes back to the Tannehill thing, right? Like, right now, if I had to win a game, I mean, Tannehill does a lot of things that drive me crazy. But Tannehill doesn't just throw the ball. I mean, did you see that one interception Russell threw yesterday where he just threw it
into the one in the end zone?
He punted.
Yeah.
That was a punt.
Did you see the fans' face?
Oh.
All the fans' face. They were just in disgust.
They
like,
hate this
how
guy.
Can you do – like, what made you throw that pass?
They hate this guy in Denver.
Yeah, this is one John Elway is if this continues to go the way it's going, because here's the problem.
Are you
going to
kick out George Payton and take back over?
Exactly. Here's the problem. They can't go out and get marquee players because they don't have the draft picks, and they probably don't have enough money to go unless the owner want to say, forget it. You know, I got money in my pocket. I'm just going to pay guys, you know, based upon that and not based upon the salary cap. That's the only way they're going to be able to go out. And guys are going to look at it from this standpoint. Oh, you want me to come there? Oh, you got to give me a little bit extra. Because they know that the owner has to, and he will. He has no other choice. You didn't give $250 million to this quarterback who looks awful. So what are you going to do? You got to sign guys. It's almost like a Christian Kirk thing. Like, you bring Christian Kirk in, not necessarily Christian Kirk, but somebody of his caliber that's really only worth, based upon his play, maybe $7, $8 million a year. Well, you got to pay him $18 million a year just to give him to come.
Because he'll go back to where he was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is the trend that the Denver Broncos are going to be in until they start winning.
What a disaster. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Byron is going to kick us off today on a Fireball Hot Take Friday on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. What you got, Byron?
I appreciate y'all taking my call, fellas. Happy Friday. I was going to just chime in on the game last night. Sure. It must be something in the water. Jared's admitting he was wrong, and I'm about to do the same thing. I got a son that he was a competitive soccer player growing up, and I've fought with people for years. You know, the game is all about the anticipation. So I always said I appreciate a low scoring defensive football game. I was wrong. Last night that was awful. Don't know who we felt more sorry for, whether it was the players on the field or the people in the stands that were trapped there.
Well, you go back to defensive football game. Good call, Byron. Mm-hmm. You go back to defensive football game. I said this to somebody today, my buddy who's a Broncos fan, and I was like, that wasn't a defensive football game. I watched Ryan Tannehill put up 24 points and a half on that Indianapolis defense. I mean, I don't know, but I don't want to speak for you, but the Indy defense ain't that good.
Nah.
And old man Gilmore cannot run anymore.
He got him an interception in the end zone.
Oh yeah. I mean, Russell throws the ball 8 yards behind the guy.
And late.
And I got old buddy at CNN all mad at me, which, let me get into that. But, like, again, I mean, like, that was not – there's a difference between, like, a good defensive football game. You play – okay. I mean, when you were on the Titans, you guys won games 9-6 and Al Del Greco kicking field goal. That was watchable football. It was just good defense, you know, good sack here or what. This was just Russell Wilson. The Broncos were in the red zone 4 times yesterday, and they kicked 1 field goal. Mm. 4 red zone trips. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Titans get into the red zone 4 times and they score 1 touchdown, I'm not happy with the performance from the Titans. But I know that the Titans are going to kick 3 field goals if they're in the red zone 4 times. Mm-hmm. They were in the red zone 4 times, and they kicked 1 field goal. They didn't score any touchdowns.
Here's the deal.
Vanderbilt could do better than that.
Shout outs to Clark Lee.
I like Clark.
Me too. Here's the difference with watching a game that has 2 really good defenses and watching a game that, you know, there's no points being scored, and you assume it's because the defense is going crazy or the defense is just awesome. And 2 really good defensive – when you're playing a defensive team and they're – like, say for the Ravens, for instance, when the Ravens and the Titans were playing, you know that was 2 defense – like, you looked at the stats, the players, everything. Yeah. They were top 3 defenses, both of them. So you knew as an offensive unit, this was going to be a tough one for both sides. Has nothing to do with the quarterbacks because both defenses have made the best quarterbacks look bad. So this has nothing to do with the quarterbacks, has nothing to do with the playmakers outside. It's just that this defense is historically good. The Baltimore Ravens was historically good. The Titans, when we had, they were historically good for what we were doing. That last night had nothing to do so much with defense.
No.
It was all bad quarterback play.
There are two good defensive players that like really stood out to me yesterday. The Patrick Surtain's kid.
Yeah.
I mean,
Surtain the second.
He is a bad boy.
Yeah, he's legit.
And that rookie safety the Colts have out of, what is it, Yale?
Uh-huh.
He made like every play in the back end for Indianapolis. Other than that, it wasn't a great. That was not Ray Lewis and Javon Kearse and Blaine Bishop and, you know,
don't
Keith
mistake
Bullitt
that defense.
And,
yeah,
we
were
seeing it run down the field. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into your phones here on the program today. Also, coming up next, do we have to worry about the Colts? Like, I know they stink, but they are one tie behind the Titans. We'll get into that coming up here on the program. Tune into the College Football Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan this Saturday as MTSU takes on UAB at 2:30. The College Football Game of the Week is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and Superbook Sports, voted the number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. And speaking of Twin Peaks, be sure to join us for the pregame show this Sunday live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Join me, D-Mace, and Crazy Uncle Chris Sanders from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans and the Commanders. The pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company.
It was a great win. Obviously, you know, we were all concerned about, you know, the flow of the game, you know, the things we weren't able to do, the penalties, the turnovers, the difficulty. But look at, you know, this is a fight, and these guys – I told Chase he's got that Navy SEAL beard, and he was a Navy SEAL today with those kicks. And, hey, there is no such thing as an ugly win. There's no such thing as a beautiful loss. So, to me, I know it was tough, but this win looks like a beauty to me. Rock out Welch times 40. So, go Colts.
Jim Irsay last night after the game. Boy, he was all fired up. The only person in America who was fired up about the Colts' victory, Jim Irsay. Chase Willie and D-Mace, Fireball Hot Take Friday. One quick question, then we're right back to your phones. The Colts are 2-2-1. The Titans are 2-1, which means that even though Indy is freaking terrible, I think we can agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Even though Indy is freaking terrible, the Colts are only a tie behind the Titans. Do we have to worry about the Indianapolis Colts going forward right now?
That is alarming that this team has been this bad through five games, and they still are just a half game behind the Tennessee Titans.
Just a tie.
As a fan, you should be worried moving forward, because I guess you can be worried, but also a little bit optimistic, because this division is going to be up for grabs until the end of the season. I think.
Who do you root for next week between Jacksonville and Indianapolis?
I like Jacksonville. I'm rooting for Jacksonville, because to me, I think Jacksonville has the best roster of any one of these teams.
So then you should root for Indianapolis.
Yeah, but to me, Indianapolis, it doesn't matter. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Unless something changes, that offensive line, just like the Titans, it's not, they can't change people. You just hope that the play change. The Titans are starting to change their play in their offensive line. Indy hasn't. You saw that was evident last night. But the saving grace is that this division is a mid-level division. That's what it is. I'm not going to say it's a bad division, but it's a mid-level division.
Titans just need to win the games they should win, like this week, and then win the division game.
And I'm telling you this, if Houston beats Jacksonville, that puts Houston right back in the mix. And that sounds crazy, does it?
Houston's not.
I'm just saying, if Houston beats Jacksonville, that puts them right back in the mix because of how this division is.
It's still early. If that happens, if Houston beats Jacksonville, and then that highlights that Jacksonville's not very good, the Titans, in theory, could run away with this division.
But are they going to run away with it?
They're going to get better. Like, Vrabel's going to coach them up, and they're going to get better. You brought up the offensive line.
Yeah.
They're going to figure out the second half. Derrick Henry's going to –
But they
I mean,
can't
I'm
afford
not,
any more injuries.
I would agree, but I just – I mean, maybe I'm a homer. I don't know. But
I'm glad you own that.
Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Dan, 615-737-1025. What you got, Dan?
Hey, good morning, guys. I know that people can, you know, heap dirt all over quarterback play last night. It was an abject disaster. That was possibly the worst football game that I've seen in many, many years. But at the same time, what do you expect if you are a Colts fan and you see on a short week you move your left tackle to right tackle, your right tackle to right guard, you start your rookie at left tackle without any legitimate practice time whatsoever, only walkthroughs? I think if that happened here in Tennessee with the Titans, if Vrabel did something like that, people would be absolutely cutting his head off. And it, to answer your question about, you know, should the Titans be worried about the Colts, I think it goes both ways. Do the Colts need to worry about the Titans? Because you just laid out a few different things. There were quite a few ifs in there for things to go right for the Titans to make a run.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think the Titans are – and I appreciate your call, Dan.
Yeah.
I think the Titans are much better than the Colts.
Yeah, and in that situation, Jared, thank you, Dan. I think if that was to happen to the Tennessee Titans, I think what you wouldn't see the same thing you saw from the Indianapolis Colts. Why? Because Vrabel's just a much better coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Frank Reich can hold a candle to Vrabel. I think if Vrabel had to make those moves, putting guys in different places, he will make sure that we're going to keep everything we do simple so these guys can go out there and play. Frank Reich, I don't think Frank Reich is like that. I think Vrabel is willing to adjust to what he has and play that way. I don't think Frank Reich is like that. I think he's like, listen, we got to move people. We're still playing the type of ball we want to play.
I think like my thing about the Titans is that the Titans just have too many veterans that have had success on their team that would not let things like this get that bad. You know, like Matt Ryan has not had success on the Colts. DeForest Buckner has not had success on the Colts. Stephon Gilmore has not had success on the Colts. So, I mean, other than Jonathan Taylor, who was out yesterday, and he's not a veteran, they don't have like a Byard or a Henry or a like the guy that's going to be like, all right, fine, I'll make sure that this
Shaq,
get that
Shaq
bad.
Leonard is
he's
hurt.
Out.
So,
yeah.
You know.
So I think that's part of it. And I'm with you. I mean, I think the coach is better. The Titans coach is better. I mean, the Titans have had their moments over the years. You know, they went to Denver and they didn't score a point and Mariota got benched from that point forward. But I mean, when I say that I just think the Titans are a much better team than the Colts, it's not that I'm saying that the Titans are very good. It's just the Colts are very bad. The Titans are fine. The Titans are one right now where we are 4 weeks into the season. The Titans are one field goal away from being 3-1. They're also, you know, one or two disastrous plays away from being 0-4. You know, just like every other team in the league, they're playing bad football, but they get it cleaned up. That's like the offensive line. I kept telling everybody after the second or third week, people were yelling and screaming about the offensive line and the offensive line coach. And I was like, I've done this already. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done this. I've asked Vrabel at a press conference about the offensive line coach in the middle of the season 3 years ago. And Vrabel was like, no, I believe in the offensive line coach, full confidence. And then Derrick Henry won the rushing title. And then the next year, the line started off slow. And then Derrick Henry rushed for 2,000 yards. And then the next year, Derrick Henry got hurt and they still ran the ball. So I just assumed the line was going to get better. I don't know if I can make those assumptions that Indy is necessarily going to get better. Whereas I do feel like the Titans are going to get better.
Yeah, you're right about it. I look at this Titans team and this is the difference to me between where the Titans are now and where the Colts are now. Now, again, things can change for both teams. You know, the Colts can get better. The Titans can get worse. The Titans can get better. The Colts can get even better or even worse than what they are. I don't know if they get worse than what they are, then we got a serious problem.
Yeah.
but I think if you lined up all the teams in the NFL, just all the teams, we're not talking about AFC, NFC, all the teams in the NFL, the Titans are closer to a top 10 team than Indianapolis is. Now, if you take out the NFC, the Titans are closer to a top 6-5 team or 6 team than the Indianapolis Colts. And a lot of it to me, this is only me, a lot of it has to do with their coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just believe, even though I don't think this roster's good, I just believe that Vrabel will find a way or coach these guys into a playoff spot.
Well, their roster wasn't really all that good last year.
Yeah.
And they were the number one seed in the AFC, and he was the coach of the year. And so the roster is maybe a little bit worse this year,
yeah,
but it's not a lot worse than it was last year. And so we're not saying he's got to coach him into the number one seed in the AFC.
He's got to coach him into the playoffs.
He's got to coach him into the playoffs in this horrendous division.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I do think that this week's game, like I do believe that this week's game will tell me a lot about the Titans. Because they can't lose to Washington. No, yeah. There's certain teams I feel like you can't lose to. Mm-hmm. Washington is one of them. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into your phones. Plus, I pissed off somebody at CNN. And I'm not sorry about it. We will get into that coming up next. Jared Summon, I'm in for Chase and Willie today. D-Mace is here for Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. It's the Fireball Hot Take Friday. Hey, join Michelle Knezevic tomorrow at Broadway Brewhouse downtown at 317 Broadway for the SEC Game of the Week presented by BettingHero.com. They're going to help you enjoy your experience betting on mobile and maybe even buy you a beer. Fun starts tomorrow at 2:30. That is tomorrow for the SEC Game of the Week.
Surveys, good protection, slides, fires, broken up in the end zone. Gilmore on Sutton. So the defensive player of the year a couple of years back, and somehow, some way,
on the final play, you got to run the ball again. Like, I mean, I wish I had Marshawn up here. Like, 1 yard. You need 1 yard. Run the ball. Run the ball. Hey, CT.
He's triggered.
All he has He's to triggered. Do is run the football. Like, necessary criticism. I'm not, you know, I've said enough criticism for him, but God dang it, run the dang ball. Like, learn from your mistakes.
I don't, can somebody fill me in? What is he referring to?
I'm confused. Have you been in this situation before?
Run the ball!
I will say this.
Richard Sherman on the Amazon postgame show yesterday. I think Derek does not like the idea of Russell Wilson throwing the ball when he only needs to gain 1 yard, as he learned that way in the Super Bowl. So Bakari Sellers, who I knew that name.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know who it was. You know, you know this because your Twitter is verified and my Twitter is verified now that I'm not hacked and selling cryptocurrency anymore. But like, if you have a verified Twitter account, mm-hmm, and somebody with a verified Twitter account says something, you'll get the notification.
Uh-huh.
And so last night, I was just minding my own business watching the game. And somebody tweeted me about Stephon Gilmore because I watched the tape of the Titans and the Colts, and Stephon Gilmore can't run anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, 3 years ago, he was as good of a corner in the league as there was, and he cannot run anymore. And that last Sunday, the Titans had Westbrook Akine running right by him and Robert Woods running right by him. Mm-hmm. And so somebody tweeted me and was like, you were right, Gilmore can't run. And I was like, he cannot run anymore. He's a safety. I'll put that on Twitter. Bakari Sellers of CNN, after Gilmore had the interception of Russell Wilson, which was a terrible throw by Wilson.
Yeah, that's horrible.
After the interception, he quote tweeted my quote and then put a little clown emoji. Why? You know, whatever. I don't
get that, Bakari, but okay.
Now, Gilmore makes the play at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Also, a bad throw by Russell Wilson and a horrendous decision by Russell Wilson. And Bakari Sellers tweets out, his name is Stephon Gilmore, and at Jared Stillman, you are a clown. Own it tonight. Well, I mean, I'm like, fine. So I said back to Bakari, he stinks with a bunch of exclamation points. He can't run anymore at all. And Bakari goes, this is analysis. So I don't know what I did. I don't know why Bakari Sellers of CNN was searching me out.
Uh-huh.
But apparently he was mad at my Stephon Gilmore takes. Let me say this. I'm not apologizing for the Stephon Gilmore takes. Stephon Gilmore's not good anymore. And I know he made a couple of plays last night that Russell handed him. But, I mean, that is more about Russell than it is about Stephon Gilmore.
I think what happens in these situations, Jared, it is just unfortunate. This is where we're at as a society now. It's that if you say something contrary to what someone else believes, even though, you know, what you are saying has truth to it, like you're just watching the game and you're like, I've seen Stephon Gilmore be the defensive player of the year, and I see Stephon Gilmore now. He's not that player. He can't run anymore, moving with safety. I'm not saying the kid can't play in the NFL. I'm just saying he can't be a corner anymore, moving to safety. They did it to Rod Woodson. Rod Woodson is a Hall of Famer.
Sure. They did it to Charles Woodson.
Yeah, Charles Woodson. You can't play corner no more, so we got to move you to safety. So when you say things like that, and if people don't follow closely the player you're talking about, they all of a sudden think, oh, you're hating and you're a clown because – no. If you've been watching what I've watched, you would say the same exact thing. Listen, if you want to get the best out of Stephon Gilmore, put him at safety. Just like I said about Farley. If you want to get the best out of Farley, put him at safety. He's not a corner in his league. And I would tell Bakari, right now Stephon Gilmore is not a top 10 or 15 corner in the league this anymore. He was at one point the best corner in the National Football League, but he has lost the step. We're not saying the guy can't play in the NFL. Just move his position. There's nothing wrong with that. He might end up being like Charles Woodson and Rod Woodson. You can also put him in the Hall of Fame as a safety as well because they play so well. You know, but that doesn't make you a clown because you're looking at a person and you're seeing what he is now as opposed to what he used to be. You could have sat there, what would have been a clown move if you would have said, man, Stephon Gilmore is still one of the, you know, top five corners in the league. Now, that's a clown analysis.
Now, people are going to say that.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to say, oh, look at Gilmore making those plays in the game. And it's,
no, he's not.
That's what people are going to say, though. Texter into the text line says that Geno Smith now has an NFL record for the highest completion percentage through the first 4 weeks of the season. It kind of feels like even though Seattle's not going to win a lot of games, and I know they're 2-2, and everybody in that division's 2-2, it does kind of feel like Seattle played their hand perfectly with Russell Wilson.
Course. You know what Russell's completion rating is right now?
30% maybe?
It's like 50, I think it's 54% after through five games.
I mean, he made one throw yesterday to a wide-open Jerry Jeudy, and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard for me to watch.
Even what was so funny about it is it was in the fourth quarter. It was in the fourth quarter overtime. There was a penalty. I think it was an offsides or false or something. But they let the play kind of go on. Mm-hmm. And there's a wide open guy running across the middle of the run across the field. I think it was Sutton. He threw a bad pass to Sutton at that point.
Yeah.
It was like, dude, you can't hit a guy even after a penalty, and they stopped the game.
Here's the hard part, though, about this, which is whichever quarterback lost the game was going to be the story today. Because yeah. If the Colts had lost, it would have been about how terrible Matt Ryan was. Because mm-hmm. Matt Ryan was pretty bad, too. What I wonder is how much of this is really Matt Ryan's fault. I mean, I don't think Matt Ryan is good anymore. I think he's probably average. But that one shot that they had of him on the bench where he was just screaming at Nick Foles, and I knew that he was basically complaining about everybody else to Foles. You know, Foles was just sitting there listening to him vent about, and I'm sure it was about the line or the receivers or the play call or maybe all three. But I do think that Matt Ryan is in a tough spot with all that. Russell probably, you know, his coach has no clue if it's pumped or stuffed. But other than that, like, Russell is the problem with the Broncos.
I think Matt Ryan, I think he's so upset because he knows that he doesn't have that ability to move around in a pocket like he used to. He doesn't have that ability to say if it's third and five, everything breaks down, he can at least get 5 yards with his legs. He can't do that anymore. He understands and he realizes it. And he's frustrated that the guys up front doesn't realize it. They don't realize what his limitations are.
That line's terrible.
Yeah. And he's looking at it like, man, y'all know I'm limited as a quarterback. If you give me a clean pocket, I can do what I need to do. But if I got to worry about who's coming off the left side, who's getting beat on the right side, can I step up in the pocket? I don't have the athleticism anymore to get outside the pocket and make plays. This is why Bronco fans need to be mad at Russell Wilson, because he still has that ability, but he chooses not to use it.
He doesn't want to run.
Yeah, he chooses not to use it. That's why Bronco fans need to be mad, because this could be a different story if he would just get out the pocket, buy some time, and try to find an open receiver. He's not doing that.
He doesn't run at all.
No.
And then yesterday, after he threw that horrible interception, he tried to play superhero and tried to make a tackle and almost got concussed.
He almost got dinged. It's not funny, but it was just like, man, you threw a bad interception, and then you're trying to make a play, and you got kind of bow.
You're a general manager in the NFL right now, and you have to pick. You've got $20 million, and you have to give it to either guy because Russell makes 50, and where I'm going does not. But you have to pay $20 million, and it could be either or. So money is not a factor here.
Okay.
Who would you rather have be your starting quarterback for your franchise right now?
But are we saying I am the Denver Broncos or whatever team this other person is?
You are the Denver Broncos.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Russell Wilson or Cooper Rush?
Right now, Cooper Rush.
That's a travesty.
Right at this point of
time. Cooper Rush got released before the start of the season. Yeah. Any team could have had Cooper Rush.
I'm taking Cooper Rush. At this point of time, I'm taking Cooper Rush.
Any team in the league could have had Cooper Rush. Mm. Russell Wilson went for 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, a tight end, and is worth $250 million. That's how crazy, that's how bad Russell Wilson's been.
Yeah, I'm taking Cooper Rush.
That is insane. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And I'm not saying you're wrong. 615-737-1025 here on the program. The Titans. I don't think they're going to do this, but I'm worried that they might. We will get to that coming up next here on the program. Hey, be sure to catch the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5, 106.3 The Game Monday at 6 o'clock, live from 6th and Peabody. The Eddie George Show is brought to you by Low T Centers and Xander Insurance. Xander, my agent, gives you more options. More options means more saving for you. Free quote at XanderInsurance.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.